you like to turn to Haggai? Book of Haggai on our church Bibles is on page 948 and 949. Book of Haggai. I might say Haggai, and I might say Haggai, and I might say other things. Traditional English pronunciation is Haggai. The Hebrew, I think, is Haggai, and then Haggai is kind of in the middle. So I'll probably say Haggai, but if I don't, you know who I'm talking about. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month. And that's a bit weird way to begin. There aren't many other books in the Bible that just begin with an exact date. We used to, like Andy quoted this morning, from that famous prophecy of Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died. Well, that tells you to the nearest year. This tells us to the nearest day. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains, and bring down timber, and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. And so we have the first message from Haggai. It's all very precise. Each message the prophet Haggai gives is time-stamped with an exact date. Does that mean something? If so, what does it mean? My wife's really into watching these detective stories on the telly, and we seem to be loads of new ones coming out. And it's all, you just see that opening shot and you think, is it significant that that garden has got foxgloves in? Is someone going to be poisoned with digitalin? Or is it significant, this date? Or is it not significant? Will it turn out? So we've got in Haggai, we've got five messages that he gives, two of them on the same day. So there's four dates written up there, and exact dates. And it's interesting to see if it will turn out to mean anything. The first message that Haggai gives is, these people say, the time has not yet come. The word of the Lord, this is verse 4. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? And verse 2, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. So Haggai went to the people and he said, it seems to me that the reason you are not building the temple is because it's not the right time. And it just reminds me of a story in our family. My two brothers live in the Wakefield area, Leeds Wakefield area, and my parents retired to Wakefield to be near to them in Leeds. And we used to go up, take the family up to see the rest of the family, see their cousins and their grandparents and aunts and uncles. And at one stage, one of my sister-in-laws said, "It was really good of you to travel 200 miles up here to come and see us. We can't come and visit you because our children are the wrong age. When your children get to the age our children are, you'll understand. Because you see, your children are so young, you just put them in a car and they don't know any better. And it takes all however many hours it takes to drive up the motorway. But our children, you see, they're a bit older. And they know it's going to be a long time and they just don't settle and it's just not good. And they're just the wrong age." Well, I think it was about 25 years between the visits that they actually came down to see us. Their children were never actually the right age. And it's, I think this is a bit like what Haggai was saying to the people. You're saying it's not the right time to build the temple. And I think he was having a little go like, when will it ever be? This temple has been ruined for, well, we were dragged off into captivity, what was it, 66 years ago. And you're saying, oh, the time's not quite right to, even though King Darius and the King Cyrus had said the Israelite people could go back and go back to their own places and they could build their own temple and they, all of a sudden that was going to be okay, even, and that was reversing the Babylonians who'd taken them into exile. The people are saying it's not the right time. And he's saying, how come it's the right time for you to build your houses, but it's not the right time to build the house of God? And his message is, give careful thought to your ways. Is this really not the right time? The Lord says, give careful thoughts to your ways. Is it a time that it's time right for you to build your houses, but it's not time to build the house of God? I've been doing a lot of reading as I've been preparing for a new job and looking at some training, and I came across an account of a woman who had a broken boiler. So Monday morning, the boiler broke. And you know what it's like? You then end up, you have to find the number of the plumber and you have to try. And then they're all busy because everybody's boiler's broken, so you have to find another one. And then when you've got the plumber sorted out, you then have to dig out, have I got this insured? And if so, what do I have to do and who do I have to ring for the insurance? And then you have to wait in for the plumber and then they don't come. And then you have to wait in a different time and then you have to sort of supervise what they're doing and then you have to sort out. And in between, you're boiling kettles so that you can warm up water for the baths for the kids. And at the end of the week, it turned out she had spent at least 7 hours on sorting out this broken boiler. And the moral of the story is, if you had gone to her at the beginning of the week and said, can you spare me an hour a day for the whole of this week? She'd have said, what? I don't have an hour spare every day. But when the boiler broke, suddenly there were 7 hours in the week. And so the moral of that was, it's when we talk about how do we manage our time, it's so important that we manage our priorities. We are not going to manage time for God, to make time for God, by being a little bit more efficient with breakfast, chewing a little bit faster, and boiling the kettle a little bit faster, and getting a microwave with extra power so that it can do a few seconds faster, and shaving a little bit of time off everything else so that we make time for God. We make time for God first, and then we find that everything else fits in. And it's the same when we give money to God. We are to give money to God when the pay packet comes in. On the first day of the week, it says in the New Testament, set aside some money. You've just had your pay packet on the last day of the week. Here's your first day of the week. Set aside the money for God, and then the rest will happen. And that's what the prophet Haggai was saying. This is a time to present a sacrifice to God, a sacrifice of your time and your energy and your effort, and putting God first. And this is the first day of the month. And it may be that the reason we're told it is the first day of the month is that if we look it up in the Old Testament, in the book of the law, in Numbers, we discover on the first day of every month, you are to present a sacrifice to the Lord. And this prophecy was made on a date when they should have been, maybe they were, but they certainly should have been, making a sacrifice. And it's possible that if they were planning to do that, they might all have been gathered in one place and it might have been convenient for Haggai to make his prophecy. But he wanted to make that point on that day, on that particular festival. He says, is this a time for you to live in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? And the word panelled is exactly the same word as the word panelled that is used to describe how the temple was built. So, Solomon built the temple and completed it. He lined its interior walls with cedar boards, panelling them from the floor of the temple to the ceiling, and covered the floor of the temple with planks of juniper. He partitioned off 20 cubits at the rear of the temple with cedar boards, from floor to ceiling, to form within the temple an inner sanctuary, the most holy place. The main hall in front of this room was 40 cubits long. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with gourds and open flowers. Everything was cedar. No stone was to be seen. So when he said panelled, he meant panelled. You couldn't even see stone anywhere in it. And that's the word that he said. Prophet Haggai came and said, look, you're panelling your houses. You're not just keeping the rain off your head. You are panelling your houses and making them beautiful. And you say you haven't got time? Quite a hard-hitting message. And he said, if you think about it, consider your ways. Have you noticed that you don't have enough to eat? Have you noticed that you don't have quite enough to drink? Have you noticed inflation? You've got this money and you think it's going to be enough, but it seems to go into a bag with holes. When you come to it, it's not got enough there to buy what you need to do. Historians think that there may have been a famine at that time. Haggai didn't say, oh, it's just one of those things, it just happens not to have rained. He said, this is the Lord's doing. It's because you haven't put God first that this has happened to you. And I'm telling you that. Why has it happened? It's happened because of my house, declares the Lord. It remains a ruin while each of you is busy with your own house. Verse 9. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops, and I called for a drought. But the lovely thing about preaching from Haggai is, at least with Haggai, the people listened. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Verse 13. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So that was the second message. Very short. I am with you. But a fantastic message. I was really blessed as we were thinking about that message over Christmas just gone. I am with you, declares the Lord. And it's the same promise that Jesus made to the disciples. He said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and so on and so forth. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So, in this way, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work. Haggai was an encourager. Yes, he had stern words to say about why don't you put God's house first, but he was an encourager. The Lord is with you. You don't need to do this all in your own strength. You don't need to be worried about all these other things that might be wrong. Is it possible that the people said it's the wrong time for political reasons? They thought there's people around us, and we know when we get to Nehemiah, the opposition was very... The people were really afraid that, you know, they start building walls and the enemies would come and break them down. So maybe they thought politically this is not the right time. Maybe they thought economically, you know, surely we need to have a bit more in the barns. And all these things are against us. And Haggai said, maybe they are against you. But who's with you? The Lord is with you. Work, because the Lord is with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the king. A wonderful king was Zerubbabel. He played with an India rubber ball. The rubber ball bust and Zerubbabel cussed. The language he used was Terubbabel. Sorry about that. I went to a missionary boarding school. And this is one of the side effects. You learn all these little things in scripture lessons. In this way, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel and Joshua and all the people. So the way, situation that the people were in is that they'd come back after being in exile. So the people of Israel and the people of Judah had been taken to exile. They'd been taken by the Babylonians, and then they had been given the chance to return. When they'd been taken by the Babylonians, a few people had been left behind, and those are the people who became known as the Samaritans. And when they returned and were rebuilding the temple, there was this argy-bargy which went on until the time of Jesus between the people who'd stayed in the land and the people who'd been taken away and then come back. And so you had the Samaritans against them, you had this sort of, is it the right time? And Haggai said, the Lord is with you in those circumstances. The third message that Haggai gave. Let's have a look at chapter 2. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. What a fantastic vision he had. He was looking at an attempt to kind of rebuild amongst a whole lot of rubble and ruins. There was the outline of the temple foundations, and they had made a little bit of a start, and it really looked a pale shadow of its former self. It's possible that some of the older people there, it was less than a lifespan between when it had been destroyed and when they were coming back. Some of them possibly did remember and could say, "Oh dear, oh dear. In the old days, oh, you should have seen it. It was a beautiful place and never going to be the same again. Just look at it now." And here's one of the reasons where we think that Haggai puts exact dates in. Because you can work out the date of what he's talking about. The 15th day of the 7th month, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. Celebrate a festival to the Lord for 7 days. So you take the 15th day, and you add the 7 days, and you come up with, oh yeah, on the 21st day of the 7th month, Haggai gave this prophecy. So it was the end of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was that festival when he made this prophecy. And more than that, if we look at 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, "In the 11th year of the month, in the month of Bul, the 8th month, the temple was finished in all its details according to its specifications. Solomon had spent 7 years building it." You can work out it's an exact anniversary of when the first temple was dedicated. And Haggai came and said, "This is the festival, and that festival so many years ago is when it was built. And I'm going to tell you, this present temple is going to be greater than the former one." What a fantastic prophecy to give. There's nothing in humanly speaking in front of him to be able to say that. And he also had this great vision that somehow, he didn't know, if you look at the prophecy, it doesn't really say very much, but somehow, not only God's people, the Jews, but also something, some connection with the whole of the world, all the nations would be involved, and this would be a house of peace. Absolutely fantastic and uplifting prophecy on a very special day that he gave it. And some people would tell you that Haggai's name means festival, and his prophecy on this occasion was on a date of a festival. It's possible that the first prophecy, which said on the first day of the month, that was also a festival, and it's therefore very tempting to look and see if all of the prophecies were all on dates of festivals. We can't find a festival for the last date, although it is possible that there was a festival when you'd finished doing the sewing, that you had a little festival. But maybe that's just people trying to see patterns in the facts there. It was an amazing encouragement, again, his view of what was going on. In Haggai, he said, "Be strong, Joshua, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you." And it's an echo of the other Joshua, the Joshua who is with Moses. And what Moses said to Joshua, the Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, "Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you." And Haggai says, this is the word of the Lord. "This is what I covenanted with you people when you came out of Egypt." And a lot of this time, when the people were coming back from Babylon, was an echo of the time that they'd come out of Egypt and God had brought them to the promised land. And again, they were being brought to the promised land. And Haggai was telling him, this is what the Lord says. It's an echo of what God has already done in the past. Then we come to the fourth message. So we're up to verse 10 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10. "On the 24th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated?" The priests answered, "No." Then Haggai said, If a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, said the priests, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now, give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid upon another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the 9th month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. And it seems, as much as I can understand it with the help of commentaries, that what Haggai was trying to say is, just because you're working on building the temple, that's not going to make you holy. You need to be holy to make a holy temple. And we sometimes get into the view that because we're doing something for the church, that's going to be all right, and that's going to make up for other things that we're not doing right. And that's not what the way God's law works. God wants us to be holy. And the only way we make this place holy is if we are holy, not coming here to be made holy, if you see what I mean. So he wanted to challenge them that they needed to have a right attitude and they needed to build in the right way and not to defile his building by taking it lightly, by not treating it with respect and as a holy place. Be careful, unless what you do is actually defile my temple. But with that kind of negative message, he also gives this wonderful, wonderful message: from this day, I will bless you. Building the temple's not going to make you holy, but from this day, I will bless you. And you're going to have all the things that you haven't had before, where before it's been a struggle and you've never actually had enough. You're going to have plenty, and God is going to bless you abundantly. And then we come to the last prophecy, which starts in verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. This was the fifth prophecy. I will make you, Zerubbabel, like my signet ring. And if we have a look at Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, we find his grandfather had been a king in the line of David. And there had been a prophecy made by Jeremiah to this grandfather, and it was not a good prophecy. Let me read it to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. I will deliver you into the hands of those who want to kill you, those you fear, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the Babylonians. I will hurl you and the mother who gave you birth into another country where neither of you was born, and there you will both die. You will never come back to the land you long to return to. Is this man, Jehoiakim, a despised, broken pot, an object no one wants? Why will he and his children be hurled out, cast into a land they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as if childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule any more in Judah. Terrible prophecy had been given to his grandfather, and then Haggai comes and says, I'm going to restore you. You're going to be Zerubbabel, like my signet ring. You're going to be restored. A wonderful promise. Though things had gone so badly wrong, and they had gone into Babylon, yet as God's promise had been, if my people turn to me, I will bring them back and bring them back to the land, and I will restore them even if there's only a tiny remnant left. Zerubbabel, you're going to be like a signet ring. I've been challenged that a talk is only a talk, it's not a sermon if it doesn't mention Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 begins the Gospel of Matthew with that long, long list of names. And Ram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Reu and Peleg and all those different names. Oh, and Shealtiel and Zerubbabel. You can read it in that line of that traces the line from Adam through to Joseph. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. After the exile to Babylon, Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. And then it goes on down to Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So we have a connection between Zerubbabel and Jesus in that way. And this connection in a signet ring view, a kind of symbolic way as well. And the name Joshua, the name of the high priest, is Yeshua, is Saviour, is the name that Jesus was also given. So it's been fascinating to look at Haggai. In 111 days, which is the amount of time between the first date, at the verse 1, and the last date, in 111 days, he had been used by God to completely turn round a nation and revitalize it. They were a demoralized people. Their ruined temple was kind of a picture of what the people were like. You know, we just haven't got the energy. We've come back to restart our nation, but we really haven't got very far, and we're struggling through famine, and it's all going wrong, and it's all dismal, and not really sure what's going to happen. But Haggai was used to turn the people around. And we've got a fantastic object lesson on how God wants to use people to do this. Because Haggai, we don't know anything about him. We don't even know who his father was and where he came from and what he did. And yet in this very short period of time, the people turned around from being demoralized to being really enthusiastic. And he had this vision that one day this temple was going to be greater, but it was never going to be greater while it was sitting in ruins. You just had to make a start and get on with it. He was used by God to be God's messenger. He rebuked and he encouraged. I love doing the encouraging bit. I must admit, I sometimes avoid the rebuking, but it needs to be done. If we really love one another and if we really want God's best, we have to speak the truth in love. We have to be both rebuking and encouraging. And that's what Haggai did. He preached to the people. He told them what they should do. He also practiced. You can find his name also in the book of Ezra, saying that he was there supporting while they were doing the building work. He was a man of both faith and action. And this whole book is, in a way, someone has described it as being an Old Testament commentary on a New Testament verse. The New Testament verse is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, and it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain."